Well, it looks like they're about ready to start here, so let's get ready to bring them up. Well, while we're waiting again, the election for town council and for the mayor's race, May 8th, from 8 a.m. until 7 p.m., from 8 a.m. until 7 p.m. in the Wrangler Gym. That's the election day coming up on May 8th. And again, this is going to be the mayor's portion.
Everyone for coming back. Just as a reminder for our mayoral candidates, each person will have 1 minute to answer each question, and we will rotate the starting order. Our timers are in front, and we are ready to go. To start out, please provide the audience with the following information in your opening remarks. What is your vision for Pinedale in the next 4 years? Please provide any board, commission, or council experience you have. Why are you interested in the mayor or mayor position? What experience do you have that is relevant to this position? And Jim, we'll go ahead and start with you.
All right. Well, for vision, I'm hoping that in the next 4 years we can grow the community with new families and such and people moving into the area. Also growth for new business and existing business and not have so much red tape and hoops that they have to jump through for that. Council experience. Obviously, I've been on the town council for the last 2 years and am here for and working with the residents of Pinedale. Why am I running for mayor? Because I'm hoping to make a change, get some respect back, and be able to have a little conformity amongst the council members. And what?
Experience that is relevant.
I have construction background. I have stop.
Matt.
Thank you. So my name is Matt Murdoch, and I am very excited about Pinedale. I think there is so much potential in front of us right now. We have several projects that are just looming right on the horizon. It has been a really exciting time just to see growth and different aspects that we have going on in the county. I have served in multiple leadership functions. I have been involved in community development in Africa for 19 years. I have learned to work with people that are not always fun to work with and may not always like you. I have been involved in leadership of different businesses, in different nonprofit boards, some educational boards. So I'm quite involved. I'm also very involved in the Wyoming Association of Municipalities. And so I'm on the Legislative Leadership Commission of that, which was selected by a group of people down in the state. I'm running because there's several projects that we need to complete. There's things that we need to get done. And I also would like to see some healing take place in our town. We've had a lot of personalities and a lot of people hurt, and I'd like to get to a place where we can all work together and work cooperatively. Thank you.
Tyler?
Thank you. Firstly, thanks to all the sponsors in the chamber, as well as our moderators for putting this on for the radio and newspapers. My vision of Pinedale has been the exact same thing that it's been 2 years ago when I ran for council, and when I got elected, I spoke directly to Bob about this. And I don't think we should ever look to be Jackson. However, we do need to have a positive net gain in people moving in. That means we're doing the right things, not just only at the council level, but also up and down Main Street, all throughout town. My thought process is 30 to 40 people to families on the high side, people on the lower side. My council experience is obviously 2 years ago, as I mentioned. Prior to that, I was president of the chamber for over a year, I believe a year and a half, before I resigned from the board when I got elected council. And I've been a part of multiple different nonprofit and economic development committees here in town since I got here 10, 11 years ago. And thanks.
Jennifer, could you please see if the doors are closed? We're getting all the feedback from the band up here. Thank you.
I thought it was just background music.
So that I was told that I was too soft-spoken. I'm sure that's a concern my children don't have. So I'm going to speak up. Okay. This question is for Matt. Yes or no, should there be a provision in municipal ordinances that allows voters to recall elected officials?
That's a very good question. I think is a question that needs to be discussed by the current council. I know I've had that conversation with different people throughout the state, and consensus is a bit divided. I actually would lean towards it. I think it having a measure where there would have to be very safe boundaries and parameters so that the council and the elected officials are not living in fear of a 51% vote turning on you, because the will of the people can change fairly quickly, and 2 years later you might be happy with what they were doing. But having some sort of provision in there that allowed for that would not be unreasonable, because I do think that there is a concern that, you know, we want the town to be, the elected leaders to be responsible to the voters.
Tyler?
I see my 30 seconds to you.
Yeah. Cool. I'll take all 30. In short, yes. It's something that we would have liked to have done, in my opinion, toward the beginning of our council term. Jim and I, in the last election when we got elected. I understand that the state may indeed be divided, as Matt pointed out, but I think it is the best thing for Pinedale. Unfortunately, the reason we don't already have it is actually due to the fact that we've never had a situation or an administration, I guess you could say, to be polite, that has inspired that feeling and those negative feelings and sentiments from the voters and within Pinedale as well as the greater Pinedale area, I guess you can call it. But yes, the short answer is yes, I do.
Jim?
Again, I would agree with the other two. Yes, we do need to have that. I talked to a number of people in the community and stuff, and part of the reason, some of the reasons that were given were that, well, we elected this person, so we're going to stick with him until the end of his term and just won't reelect him the next term. But if you have somebody that needs to be removed from their position, then this is a easier way to do that, and then you don't have to go through 4 years of frustration, and you can move on as a community. So, yes.
Tyler, while fulfilling your term on town council, what do you consider your greatest regret?
If it's more of a recent one, I have brought this up openly with other people. I do wish that I would have tabled the Salenta rezone. I felt like I was maybe a little vague when I asked the engineer the question, and I got an answer that led me to believe that I didn't want to be the reason that we didn't get a hospital at that time, because at that time that was kind of the grave nature of what was relayed to me when I asked the question. And I guess ultimately, had I just tabled it a meeting, I think maybe the council would have come to a different decision than what we reached. That being said, everything was done by the book. It just happened to be that certain people were actually pushing it behind the scenes, and maybe a light that I don't think everyone was aware of, nor would have liked had they known. So ultimately, that would be my biggest regret that I can think of. Thank you.
Jim?
Probably my greatest, well, one of my regrets is that not being able to, as Tyler said, get him to vote along with us to not move ahead with the Salina property for the reasons that I feel they wanted to have a hospital there. So that that I will accept that one for not getting the vote that we needed to close that one down. So that would be the greatest.
And Matt?
I'm going to go somewhere different, because I think there's always going to be decisions that we're going to make, and it's hard, and until you're actually sitting at the table and being confronted with a decision, it's sometimes very difficult. And I think it seems easy to look at a decision like Salenta's property or the hospital and say, well, why didn't you decide this way? But we have a lot of information at our table. I think from my perspective, One of my biggest regrets is the fact that the council did degenerate. In the very beginning, there were several of us on the council that were working very well together. And I know that there's a lot of hard feelings out there, and I think, I don't know, I mean, should I have spoken up more? Should I have gotten louder? Should I have fought back louder and more publicly? I did a lot of stuff in the background, and different people involved in the conflict know that I've talked to them. But would that have been something that I should have made more of a fuss at this table? And yet the biggest thing we've heard recently is civility. And I think sometimes what we need to realize is that sometimes you have to fight to have peace. And maybe that was my mistake.
Thank you. Jim, this one's to you. How would past coworkers or employees describe working with you?
Well, there's going to be probably a full gambit of answers on that one. Some of them, well, I would say the majority of them would say I'm fun to work with. I try not to take my job so seriously that it restricts liking my job, is how I would say it. If you have to go to a job and feel that it's all you can do and that you have nothing better to do all the time, it just doesn't work out. You have to enjoy and love what you do. So that's part of the reason that I'm doing this, is I can't say I really, truly love it, but I do enjoy being involved with the community and stuff, and as well as the employees also.
Matt, do you need me to repeat that?
No. I think, and from my position, I have been involved in either multiple volunteer or private businesses where people actually choose to work with me. I've been asked back, and people have asked to work with me multiple times. There are a large number of people who probably don't like to work with me and don't like me. But in general, I've found that there's been people who like to work with me. One of the things that I try to do is try to equip people so they can be better at what they're doing. I like to see myself sometimes as a shepherd during the rural health care board discussions on the hospital. I brought this up. We were doing a comparison of what kind of animal would you be, and my animal was a sheepdog, because I really think it's my job to equip people around me to be better at what they do. And generally, that works. There are times that doesn't work and that we disagree. But I like to think that people like to work with me. There's people who are associated with me because they choose to be, not because they have to work 9 to 5 next to me in the same truck or in the same office. So I'm blessed that way.
Tyler?
This is something that I really strive to, I'd like to think this is something in which I kind of cherish as a speciality for me. When I was working at the Roundup, one of the main things that I worked on was trying to keep the staff a cohesive unit, and one that, you know, we had fun, but we also were able to get the job done. And I know for a fact that I was able to keep talent at the newspaper longer than probably what I should have been able to, mainly because of the office environment that I was able to create as kind of the level-headed, calming influence, hopefully, as well as being somewhat jovial, maybe. I don't know. Sometimes I crack some jokes in council meetings, but I try one a night, by the way. But no, this is something that the reason I think this plays into it, and I'm glad this question was asked, I think the current town staff is, not to say that they're in need of this, but I think where we can really strive is, I'm getting the stop sign already.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry.
Cut off in mid-sentence. Next question goes to Matt. What areas, if any, would you focus on for economic development?
Wow, so many. Broadband. We are working great on broadband. I think one of the things that we have seen is that we are working so well on the county level and working with Marbleton, Big Piney, the county commissioners. I talk to them regularly. I hear people saying we need to improve communication, yet I feel like there's a lot of communication going on. Hospital, another major thing. It'll seriously impact our economy. I'd love to see and encourage businesses and help them and talk to find out what's going on. One of the things that I'd like to do is something that former Mayor Smith had done, which was Mugs with the Mayor, and getting down and hearing what other people say and trying to encourage businesses, because I think there are some really good ideas out there. The town is limited in what it can do, but we can help. We can advise. We can look for grants like somebody previously mentioned, but we can create the atmosphere. And so there's some really great things that we can do as a town in building up businesses around us and providing that that opportunity.
Tyler?
Yep. Just to finish my previous thought, I was wanting to make sure that the town staff, we could have a better work environment, and that would be something I would strive for. On to economic development. Matt did mention, to me, the two biggest issues, I guess, coming up for economic development and our town, and actually county too, is the broadband and as well as the critical access hospital. I think you add those two amenities to everything that we already have as Pinedale residents. I mean, I know that my family, when they come out and visit me, they want to retire here already. They just need to get to the retirement age. But I guess in a sense is that drives tourism, it drives everything. If you can have those two, I don't want to say big city amenities, but I think in today's world they're more of a necessity than an amenity, although that may actually be the same word. Check that. But, no, to me those are the two bigger the bigger things on the horizon, and I really think we have to focus not just at a council level but at the county commissioner level as well to make sure those things happen. They are coming. I do think everyone wished that they were already here, but unfortunately big projects take a little bit longer.
Thank you. Jim?
I will have to agree with the broadband and the hospital. I know that with the hospital coming in from people that I've talked to that knocking on doors that they have special needs kids and stuff, so it's inconvenient for them to move or to drive to Jackson and to Rock Springs to have their children, and retired folks also. Some of them have had the same concerns. So I want to work with those folks and getting them the things that they need. I want to work with the landowners also around the, if the hospital does go out in the Bloomfield, work with the landowners and try not to have so much red tape and hoops that they have to jump through in order to prosper and to grow. Because as long as we have a hospital coming in, people will want to move here. And that will enhance other businesses to move here for the growth. So that's it.
Okay. Tyler, this one's yours. In regards to the budget, how much do you think the town should reserve annually? And how would you go about achieving this?
Ooh, you asked me a budget reserve question, huh? The sexy topic. No, this is something that, I mean, honestly, it's a council decision. We over the last 4 years, two of mine included, of course, I believe the number was $17.9 million is what the town had in operating reserves. Currently, we're under 10 over the last 4 years, so it's decreased because of some major projects. I think everyone would want to say in their personal finances as well, I wish I could save more. It's the same thing with the town. This is where, why you need five people, in my opinion, on the council, because it's not something that myself as mayor, Bob as mayor, Matt, Jim, doesn't matter. You can't just go in and say this, this, and this. This is where the public needs to really have some input. I don't mean that to sound like a non-answer. It's just at this time, I mean, honestly, we haven't looked at the budget yet, because we're waiting till after the elections to go through the budget, because they know, and rightly, all those views will change. So,
Jim,
I think we read the question once more.
In regards to the budget, how much do you think the town should reserve annually, and how would you go about achieving this?
I don't have all the numbers right now, obviously, but I think we need to work with a balanced budget and have very mindful spending and stuff, not overreach what our the money that we're bringing in. We need to, I think also we need to evaluate some of the equipment and some of the projects that we want to have for the future, and make sure that we have the money coming into our coffers so that we aren't overspending and so that we don't have to dig into the rainy day fund, if you want to call it that. So to me, that's the biggest thing, just mindful spending and planning projects out far enough so that we don't get in a bind.
Matthew?
We set aside $5 million for budget reserve. We should do the exact same thing. We have about $8.5 million in reserves, probably a bit more. Our revenue is going to be higher this year. Definitely a balanced budget. Set aside the five. And then let's look at projects that are going to actually add to the community. Broadband, for example, is going to require an investment by the town. Hospital is going to require an investment by the town. We can do road and sewer projects cheaper today than we will in 4 years. So should we invest that money today, try to get as much SLIB funding and other state funding we can, and get as much bang for our buck? It's something we definitely need to look at. But I think to answer the question simply, we should have at least five, and it's a pretty much just a budget earmark that we do. Straightforward, but I think we need to think as a town of what are the things that we can do that would help businesses. What are areas that we can promote Pinedale and make Pinedale more livable so that our businesses and our communities grow? And that's going to cost some money, but it will pay us back.
And Jim, how would you fill vacancies on municipal boards and commissions, and what roles would those boards have in your decisions?
I would send out or ask for letters of interest and qualifications and stuff for interested parties, and I would bring those to the council as a whole to let them look at that, and then collectively, I know it's the mayor's prerogative and opportunity to appoint anybody that he sees fit, but I would allow the council some input on that also. And then the boards themselves are, to me, advisory, so we need to obviously not be, if mayor or council member, not be on that board specifically, but listen to the suggestions, because that's why we were appointed in theirs, for their knowledge and for their input, so that we can take their advice and move on from there.
Matt?
Public service is a hard thing, and being involved in one of our advisory councils, of which we have several, it requires citizen involvement. And I think, you know, it's the executive's privilege within the state statute for the mayor to nominate and appoint and then be approved by the council. I think we've seen in the past that people don't want to volunteer for boards. And we need to encourage that, to encourage boards. And I think it's important that we offer, and I would agree with Jim, is if we have people who are wanting to apply, what do we think, and talk about it as a group and see where we can go and what our ideas are. I'm going to disagree with a lot of people. I have found that having a town council member on several of our boards has been very helpful. Now, the danger is if the council member becomes dominating, that's majorly an issue and should be brought up, and there should not be a fear for the commission to bring it up. But I have seen several of our boards work very well with council members, planning and zoning with Nyler, travel and tourism with myself, when Tim was on parks and tree. There was a lot of things that happened and really made it flow a lot faster. So I might disagree there on you with you.
And Tyler?
More council input, more council information shared. I know previously that was not necessarily the case. I understand this. To me, this election is about moving forward. And part of that, I think, as you move forward from the previous 4 years, what ends up happening is a change in personality at the top, a change throughout the office results from that. And you also get more and more people in the mix who want to give back. And to Matt's argument with the public service, it's not easy. Not everyone wants to do it. However, if you have an environment that can cultivate good ideas and truly use your advisory boards, because that, by definition, they are there to advise the council. I actually don't think that a council member should be a part of the board. However, I do think it should be under the council jurisdiction, or at least not necessarily a necessity, but I think you should have a council person at each of those meetings each time they meet, not necessarily to vote, because, again, their job is to advise, but I do think that keeps everyone in the loop.
Okay, this one goes to Matt. What is the legal relationship between the council and mayor?
Legal relationship? That's an interesting question. The Wyoming State statute creates for a strong mayor. It is purposely made to have a strong mayor. When you have a strong personality and a strong statutory position, we see a lot of things happen. We've seen over the last three administrations, three different types of mayors step into that position. A lot of the day-to-day operations, the executive role of the government, should be run by the mayor. The staffing, dealing with a lot of the concerns, whether it be water, sewer, roads. But coming back and having the discussion, and that's one of the things I go back to, is our first couple of years in council before Tyler and Jim got on, is there was a lot of good discussion. There was a lot of good, and our town council meetings went to 10 or 11 o'clock at night. People were like, wow, and we were not fighting. We were talking, because there's a lot of things we can talk about as a group that allow us to make a consensus decision, and we can take the time to get there. But legally, the council then approves what the mayor is proposing. So,
Tyler, what is the legal relationship between the council and mayor?
Well, I think it's a little bit self-evident, but at the same time, I guess to Matt's comment, I don't know what changed in the last 2 years, but I think maybe we just got better and more efficient in meetings, perhaps. Just a comment. I feel like maybe that was left out of his argument. I feel like he was going to get there if he'd had 30 more seconds.
Ten.
Okay, touche. But no, I mean, it's to me, it is about communication. And I know myself and Jim, not to speak too much for him at all, but I do know that there have been issues then we have raised both separately and together about the communication flow from the mayor to the council. It seems to be selective. I understand the mayor is an executive power. However, in a perfect world, this question isn't even needed to be asked. I think the reason that it came up in the survey and it was asked speaks tenfold over anything that any of us can say about it. But to me, the key is communication, and there's my time.
Jim?
Yeah, once more.
Oh, sorry. What is the legal relationship between the council and the mayor?
I was reading some of that information today, but I didn't cover it all. But to me, the council is there for a reason, as the mayor, and the mayor should have, during the vote, the mayor talks to the council and gets a vote from them. So if it's four, yay, the mayor can vote for or against, or if it's 2-2, the mayor has that splitting vote. But as a council, as a whole, we should all still be the same on the same board. Agree, we're going to disagree on things, which is inevitable, but to take executive decision on certain things, I don't agree with, as we've seen in the past. So.
Okay, and before we wrap up with a one-minute wrap-up for each of you, starting with Tyler, I'm giving you a second to think about this. I want to thank our sponsors again, Endeavor, Sublet Examiner, Ultra, Pinedale Energy Partners, Pinedale Online, Pinedale Roundup, KPIN, they're broadcasting live right now, thank you, Bob, Jonah Energy, Sublet BOCES, and the Sublet County Chamber of Commerce. And now, Tyler, would you like to give a one-minute wrap-up?
Sure. Do I only get a minute? Okay. Yeah, I guess that's a yes. Okay. A couple things I wanted to touch on. I do agree with Jim. The mayor should not vote unless he is the tiebreaker. I've been in that situation as a council person. It's difficult. I'm not saying I'm not up to the task. I just think that that's an unnecessary situation. A couple things. If you've seen my signs around town or seen my Facebook, trust, consistency, and experience. That's what I'm trying to bring to the table, and that's why I'm running for mayor. To me, what I ran on 2 years ago and won in that election, I've held true as best I could, and if I wasn't able to accomplish it, it's still moving forward. That's the consistency, and to me, that's how you build that trust. My experience, since I've gotten here, I have tried to be a member of this community in every way possible, whether it's Dancing with the Stars like I did Friday night or Thursday and Friday night, you name it, I've tried to be a part of it, and I think I think the next mayor of Pinedale needs to be someone who's in the public eye day to day, not just campaigning, not just just to say they were there, but actually participating in all everything.
Jim?
At Mayor, I work hard for the with the new town council and help our unique community grow and prosper. We have some great opportunities ahead, obviously, in the next 4 years and beyond. A strong, vibrant community relies on a balanced budget with mindful spending, attracting new business while supporting growth and prosperity for current businesses, respecting concerns and suggestions from all residents. Transparency is a big one. A critical access hospital for our town and county. Affordable housing for the younger families moving into town, teachers and what have you that are just starting out so they can afford to live here. Obviously, a voice of reason. I have and will continue to fight for the town of Pinedale and its residents. Thank you.
Matt?
I feel that it's extremely important that we elect a leader who has experience, who's led organizations, who's been involved for however many years. I just remember all the different things that I have been doing for the past 4 years of going to Cheyenne and working with Rural Healthcare Board, working actively on the broadband. I have been actively involved for 4 or 5 years as town council member. I've been advocating Pinedale, in Pinedale, outside of Pinedale, in the state, around the nation. And that's, I think, one of the things is our mayor should be somebody who's proud of Pinedale, proud of the promise that we represent. And I think we have a lot of promise. And I think the other thing that we need to look at for a mayor is someone who can work with other people and develop the consensus and develop in conversation with different people who we may not always get along with. So I would like to thank you for your time. Thank you, everybody, for coming. And I would like to ask for your vote for mayor this year.
Thank you, gentlemen. And I would ditto that and thank you all for coming and hope that you will all come out next week and vote for the candidates of your choice. Thank you very much. Thanks to our sponsors.
Okay, and once again, this is Bob at the KPIN studio. I want to remind you the Pinedale municipal election is going to be May 8th, from 8 o'clock in the morning until 7 p.m. Now, in past years, the election was held in Town Hall. They're not doing it right now, mainly because Town Hall is way out to the south, a temporary location. Instead, they're voting at the Wrangler Gym, in other words, where the basketball games are played from time to time with the various different high school teams that come in. So it's right there in that little entrance area to the Wrangler Gym is where the voting will take place. It's at 655 North Tyler here in Pinedale. Again, May 8th. From 8 o'clock a.m. until 7 o'clock p.m. Well, you're listening to KPIN Pinedale. I want to thank James Thomas one more time for being the sponsor of the radio broadcast. We went over 5 listings here, and if you want to learn more about any of these listings, there's the one out at Utility Lane in Pinedale in the industrial site. The other one was out at Chief Joseph Road in the Green River Ranches area. Very economical, $198,500, 3 bedrooms. Then there's one in the Redstone New Fork area. It's got a really good little like apartment up above the garage. It's got a 2-story garage, $518,900, sitting on 10 acres, 5 bedrooms. And then the 4th one was in Meadowlark Lane out in the Barger subdivision. It's a good starter home, $179,000 is the price on that one. 2-bedroom home. You could put a 3rd bedroom if you want up in the second story. And then the RV park, the Rob's Roost RV park for sale in Marbleton for $699,000. And again, if you want to call James Thomas, he'll give you all the details on any of these properties. And he's got vacant lots for sale, too. So if you want to build from ground up, talk to him about some vacant lots. That's James Thomas, High Mountain Real Estate. Let me give you a cell phone. That's the best way to reach him. 231-0167. Once again, James Thomas at 231-0167 for whatever your real estate needs may be. So again, the candidates you just heard from for mayor were Matt Murdock, Jimmy Brost, and Tyler Swafford. Earlier in the first half of the program, we heard from Dean Loftus, Isaac Best, John Parvacini, and Tim Lingle, but Susan Lynn unable to attend tonight due to a conflict. So this broadcast has been recorded. I'm going to be providing it to Don Ballou at PineDaleOnline.com. So if you want to hear some of this again, or you've got somebody who wanted to listen but wasn't able to, tell them in a day or two to check PineDaleOnline.com, and this should be available. Okay, thank you once again to everybody. Thank you to the Chamber of Commerce and the newspapers and everybody else that helped put this forum together. And this is KPIN, Pinedale 101.1 FM. Thank you so much for tuning in.